we continue on in our signpost series, and in this series, we've been looking at different Christian practices that have made it through the test of time, and that also help us to speak to our core values as a community, as the Bard community. And so, this morning, we're going to continue through the series by talking about worship, and how, through worship, how we can live out our core values, live into our core values. And I also want to pull this together, because worship is something that we do every week, right? I mean, this is, we come and we gather every Sunday for worship. But I want to connect this also to some of the practices that we've been talking about the last few weeks. We've been talking about healing and discernment, justice and diversity. And we've had some really tough conversations. And so I'm hoping that as we talk about worship today, that we can start connecting some of these threads in a new kind of a way. Because all that we do, our values, our worship, our community life together, and all of these things, we do all these things for the sake of the kingdom. And God is coming to us, working in our lives, changing our hearts, changing our minds in such a way that we can live as embodied people that proclaim that love works, and that when we do that, that it gives us hope and courage for the journey together. So let's start with this morning. What is worship? What is worship? An attitude. Giving thanks.
Praising God.
Preference.
Reverence.
Community. Gathering. What is worship? What is the purpose of worship? Or have you ever had an experience of worship that has been so meaningful that it's changed you in such a way that it's changed your outlook, it's changed your perspective? Can you think of a moment in a worship service that has changed you completely, or one that stands out for you? What was so particularly memorable about that experience, if you've had an experience like that? I'm seeing some nodding.
Growing up at a church camp, at summer camp, we got to worship outside in the woods with the
worshiping outside, worshiping in creation, summer camp.
I think worship for me is a way to sort of solidify my relationship with God, because the presence of God feels bigger in a worshipful setting.
The presence of God feels bigger when you're in worship. The thing that's really cool is that we have been worshiping this way. For followers, the people who have been following Jesus and following his teachings have been worshiping this way. We know for sure because we have evidence that goes all the way back to the 3rd century. How cool is that? Like, that we're standing in a tradition with people from around the world who have set their lives into this pattern of living that says that God's love will win. And I've been particularly thinking about this because I just spent a week in a monastery in England, and we worshiped by chanting psalms and 4 times a day and following this rhythm. And I thought, wow, people have been doing this for centuries. And what does this say about us? But I also have to tell you that coming home and singing with all of you this morning reminded me how much I love this community that I call home. So I thought, in all of this, maybe we can explore a little bit about worship and our worship life together. That we stand in this great tradition, people who worship God for so many centuries, and yet we also have this new thing that's alive and working and present with us, even as we speak. This thing is bigger than all of us, like Dick said. So I thought we would explore this by reading through the 12th chapter of Romans today. And so I'm hoping that we can read this in bits and pieces. We'll read this together. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your thing you can do for him. Don't become so adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll change from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to this level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you to develop well-formed maturity in you. So I'd like to show you this quick movie clip of kind of unpacking visually what Paul is saying. Worship is less about what we do for God, and worship is more about showing up and seeing what God is doing for us. Paul is writing to a group of Christians who are living in Rome, and he is really, he has some audacity here. He's proclaiming that he knows that kingdom living is possible, that there is God's hope in all things, and that God is doing something in us and through us when we gather for worship. And he also believes that worship, this moment of worship, really is like practice. Worship is the opportunity for us to practice living into our core values of kingdom living. It prepares us to live differently in the world according to Jesus' values of mercy and love and forgiveness, caring for the poor, uplifting and holding on to the sick and the grieving. And worship is also an opportunity for us to simply open ourselves and open our imaginations to what God is doing. Worship is also not about the ego, Paul says. It's not about me and what I want and what I need in this moment. Worship is transformation. Worship changes us, transforms our hearts, our minds, and our bodies so that we can live differently. So thinking about the last few weeks, about diversity, about justice, thinking about our conversation around healing and harmony, and the reality of the disharmony that exists in the real world. Worship is a time for us to look at those really hard things in an honest way and to gain some clarity about what God hopes for us, what God imagines for us, and we can practice living those kingdom values as we worship together. It gives us hope. Richard Rohr, the work of the Center for Action and Contemplation, reminds us that our activism in the world, our kingdom living in the world, has to be grounded in contemplation and worship. That we need to surrender our ego needs, because otherwise our actions in the world can come out of a place of anger or jealousy. So when we ground our very lives, our everyday living and breathing lives, it's not about our own egos. It's about God's dream for all of us, that we can seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. So worship is not about what we do for God. Worship is about what God is doing for us, opening our imaginations to God's dreams and God's possibilities for our world. So let's keep reading from Romans. In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part is seen from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body, chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we would be speaking, without envy or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. So this might sound a little familiar. Oftentimes we read this passage about the body of Christ in a different translation, where Paul is talking about the different members and how we are all members of one body working together. But I use this translation so we can hear the little nuances and differences. Because can you imagine being sort of disembodied, like a cut off of your cut off, like a strange image, but it's different. It's kind of hopefully it perks you up to thinking about this a little bit differently. But what does it mean to live as the body of Christ? We use that image in very churchy language to talk about the body of Christ, but what does that mean? For me, I like to think about being a part of the body of Christ, because what Paul is talking about is that our worship isn't something that's just out there. Now, recall at Paul's time, the sacrificial system of the temple was still in place. So when people were really disconnected from God, one of the ways that they could find redemption from sin was to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. It was separated from themselves. They could purchase a dove or a small offering, and then it would be offered to God as a sacrifice, as if it would fix if there was a sin or make right the relationship with God. And Paul was really challenging that when he uses this idea of the body of Christ. He says it is in you that the relationship is renewed. It is through your body, through your breathing, through your embodied actions, that the relationship with God is made right. And that you are connected intimately with God through your living and your very breath. And that through this body, we are all connected and in relationship with one another. I think this is pretty bold of Paul to proclaim that worship is not just something that we can just hit a magic button and suddenly everything is fixed. But there's this accountability, and it's not about what we're doing either. Because remember, it's about what God is doing in us and what God has already done in us. What this is about is our response to this never-ending grace that God is constantly, consistently offering to us. Worship embraces our community life together for the kingdom's sake. And every act of worship, no matter how private or how public, how discreet or loud, and that's God's dream for the world. Diana Butler Bass said that in her book, Christianity for the Rest of Us. So what is God's dream for the world? What does that look like? What does it look like to live out kingdom values? And what are those values that we hold dear that Jesus teaches us? So let's keep reading from Romans. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get lost. If you're put in charge, don't commit. If you're called to be people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or to preference. Keep a smile on your face. At its core, worship is a transformative experience, transforming our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and empowering us through the Holy Spirit to live for the kingdom of God. And so in this passage, Paul is reminding us, just be yourself. Be your authentic self, just as God has created you to be. Be yourself, but also embrace diversity. Seek justice. God has turned the world upside down. So live into that, and live into that paradox, but just simply by being who God created you to be as your authentic self. Here's the last mention that I want to just kind of lift up, because Jesus talks about the kingdom of God all the time, right? And I love how he talks about this, because he often talks about it in a paradox. Like, the kingdom of God is near and yet it's far away. The time is here and yet you don't know when the time is going to come. And he also says that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is on earth, but yet it's also in heaven. So there's this paradox of the kingdom, right? There's this tension of living that the kingdom is here, but it's really not here yet. And so when I think about that paradox, and I hear Paul's words in Romans, the connection for me is this. The truth of our world is that it's not perfect. We struggle every day. I don't know about you, but life is a struggle. It's a struggle about me and me. It's a struggle about making sure I'm caring for my family. It's making sure that I'm not messing up incredibly bad. It's a struggle when I'm grieving for loss. It's a struggle because I see things like abuse that's happening. I see poverty. I see racism. I see all of these things and sexism. I see the pain of the world. I see the brokenness. It's there. The kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet. I think worship is an opportunity for us to be honest about that. That we're not looking through the world with rose-colored glasses, not all rainbows and unicorns. But we can be honest. And that God can hold us in that honesty and still give us hope for the dream. The dream for God's possibilities. And that through the Spirit we can be together, we can work together, that we can see justice and we can see wholeness and peace. God says, come. Come to worship. And some days might be hard. I can make a there have been hard days in this room. But God says, don't give up. Just because it's hard and life is hard, there is hope. So come to worship and practice living the dream. Practice living the dream so that you can see that with God, all things are possible. Amen.